This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2018. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita Police Chief Gordon Ramsey. Welcome back to Issues 2018. Nice to have you with us this morning. City Manager's budget proposal includes funding to add 32 police officers next year. Did you ask for that?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
He didn't just take that number out of midair. You asked for it.
We did.
So what are you going to do with these people? Are they all street people? How are you going to use
no.
them?
No. So it's not all police officers, actually, too. There are a number, about 12 are non-sworn staff. That is, those that can do things that are not necessarily, you need a police officer to respond, to take some pressure off the officers on the street.
What kind of job would that be?
Well, that would be anytime someone, you know, a crash, sitting at a scene where there may be debris in the roadway, sitting at a fire scene blocking traffic, taking a minor report where there's no suspect.
Okay. How about people in like administration, like records people and stuff like that? Do you need anybody there?
Well, I mean, we need people all over. but the reality is that we did a study. We had hired someone to come in and look at our data and where we need people and cops. And we need additional detectives, and we need additional street cops for a total of about 49, and then another 24 or so support staff. And the council's been very supportive, as has the mayor, and this is phase one.
How long has that study been going on? Has that been going on for a while?
It was completed at the end of 2016, early 2017.
Okay. Are you having problems finding good applicants for the openings you already have?
Well, the numbers are down from decades past, but we're going to have a class starting next month. We're hoping to have 35 people. I personally like to interview every candidate, and I'm pretty impressed at what I'm seeing. We're not seeing a decrease in the quality of the candidate. Overall numbers are down.
Now, when you have a candidate come in, you say you interview them. Is there a process where they go through more than one interview or just two, or how does that work?
It's a significant process. It starts with an initial application where it's vetted for minimum requirements. They go through an extensive psychological test, interviews with community members and staff, as well as a very intensive in-depth background where they'll try and find old boyfriends and girlfriends and find any kind of concerning issues that the candidate may have.
Wichita's homicide rate nearly double what it was last year. I know you're scratching your head a little bit, but what do you think is behind this, if you can narrow it down to any factor or two or three?
Yeah, well, I mean, crime ebbs and flows, and what we see is that there has been an increase in people resorting to gunfire resolve conflict. These homicides this year are people that know each other. It is not random. It is concerning, and we're focusing on it. There's been an uptick in disputes where people grab a gun and go and shoot the person they're disputing with. And, you know, that's problematic.
Is that something that, you as a police chief can do anything about, or is that just something that's going on in society right
now? Yeah. So all of society's ills right now are falling on the backs of our cops, whether it's mental illness, violence, drugs. And oftentimes we're the face of those issues, but it's much bigger than police.
I was going to say the thing that we've been noticing is you are probably encountering people on the streets with mental conditions that shouldn't even be out there. But where do they go?
I mean, right. We are the de facto social workers of today.
And that's why the interview process is so important and getting the right applicants, because you guys are doing a lot more. Kind of like teachers.
Yeah. The expectations of police and the expectations of the issues that we deal with grows every year.
How about gang activity? I mean, we're seeing when we go to the Interwatch at KNSS, Ted tells us a lot of your stories have gang-related people involved. Is this a flow? Is it going up?
I would say the numbers aren't necessarily going up. There is a feud between two gangs that's driving a good portion of these shootings and a number of the homicides.
What are the names of the gangs?
I don't want to give them any notoriety, but it's traditional gangs that have been around.
Okay, yeah. I understand. But they've been around a while. They're just got a little feud going.
This is, you know, one of the homicides this year was from a beef 10-plus years ago. So some of this is old wounds that have been opened, and then it becomes retaliatory in nature.
You know, and I've done some interviews about this before, and there's just this thing. I know you're well aware of it. There are young guys out there who, you know, they've never felt a part of anything, and now this gang's come along. You've done this. I know you've done the psychology on this.
No doubt.
How do they convince them that you should be in our gang? Well, or do they do it by force? Say, I'm going to do something to you.
No,
you don't join.
A lot of it's that being a part of a group, a family, you know, protection. Potential money, lifestyle, all those feed into it.
It almost sounds like, we could use the word love, but it is kind of a love they're looking for, isn't it? Kind of the missing dad or something like that?
To some, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just bad guys.
And that's to some they are, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems to be the number, we talked about this a moment ago, but the number of shootings on the rise seems to me, are you imagining that, or is that true?
No, our aggravated assaults associated with firearms since 2012 have doubled. And we're seeing a significant number of guns stolen from vehicles, unattended vehicles, about 300 to 400 a year. You throw in home burglaries and business burglaries. Last year, we almost did 1,000 stolen guns from those three entities. That would fill your studio here.
So what advice do you give to these people who legally own guns? How do they keep their firearms out of the hands of the bad guys? What do you advise?
Yeah, well, in the case of in your vehicle, don't leave it in your vehicle, or have a lock, have a safe in your vehicle, or some type of chain to lock it up with. There are many devices that are readily available from local gun dealers.
And what you're saying is that if you get in a situation, you probably won't be able to rely on that unless you can move pretty fast.
Well, so when you leave it in your vehicle, right? Yeah. So that's what I'm talking about. Okay. Not just driving around, but if you're going to leave it in your vehicle, lock it up.
Okay.
Yes.
You're listening to Issues 2018 on the Intercom radio stations, and our guest is Wichita Police Chief Gordon Ramsey. What do you see in this year in terms of other violent crimes beyond homicide, such as rape, robbery? What are your numbers showing so far this year for those?
You know, robberies, we've seen a decline. The sexual assaults, you know, the Me Too movement across the nation. I talked to other chiefs, and many of us are noticing an increase in the amount of reported sexual assaults. And part of it is more awareness. Some that we're receiving are old, have been, you know, people that have come forward after some time before reporting it, just because of the movement and the awareness. Again, with our sexual assaults, it is so rare that it's a stranger. Usually it is a known suspect. But we've seen an increase, too, and I think part of that is due to the Me Too movement.
Yeah. How about property crimes? Where are we at on that?
Yeah, so one of the interesting things, in 2015, the city repealed our scrap ordinance because the state was going to take over the monitoring. And the ordinance required when people went to sell their scrap to a dealer that they provided ID. So police could track it and see, you know, kind of like a pawn shop, right? You need to show an ID. And so when we repealed that ordinance, well, the state hasn't taken over the monitoring. Now that commodity prices are higher, copper, we are seeing a significant increase in the amount of scrap thefts again.
Wow.
And we really need to work with the state on getting their monitoring moving so we can catch these bad guys, because it's having an impact on our community.
Let's talk a little bit now about domestic violence, something that keeps police officers very busy. I've often heard in the past that one of the most dangerous calls you can go on is a domestic DV, where a man and woman or a couple are going at it, and you get right in the middle of it, right?
Yes.
Tell me about DV.
Well, dangerous. They're very emotional calls. It's one of our most common. It's in our top four or five calls that we respond to every day. So they are. It's prevalent. We see oftentimes officers getting hurt throughout the country. Oftentimes we see officers getting killed at these scenes because of the volatility.
How many of your homicides are DV related?
I'd say on a 10-year basis, about a third or a fourth are DV related.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's a significant problem. As a father with a daughter, it concerns me the amount of domestic violence out there, because the overwhelming majority is male against female.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen motorcycle officers writing tickets, traffic tickets, up on Kellogg when I go home from work sometimes. How's that unit working out so far?
So far, so good. One of the most frequent complaints we get is driving-related in the city. People talking about distracted driving, reckless driving. So this unit is focusing on problem areas based on data, where our most crashes are. Is where they're spending their time.
Okay.
So time will tell. We'll look at it. We'll continue to evaluate the data and see how the impact, what the impact is they're having.
How many officers do you have in that unit?
There is 18 traffic officers.
Do they do first, second, third detail, or are they all?
We have days and nights.
Okay.
Nights focuses on DWIs.
Well, there you go.
Which a significant portion of our auto fatalities every year are DWI related.
How about, do we still have a horse unit? Do you know how many horses come out for the River Festival? I know that, but how many horses have we got, and how are you utilizing them?
Yeah, we have about 10. We use them every weekend in Old Town. They're great for crowd. You know, studies have shown that an officer on a horse is the equivalent to 4 to 6 police officers because of what they see and the ability to move a crowd. And I'll tell you, these things can move a crowd when it comes to bar close time.
I've been around horses a little bit, and I'm not going to mess around. I'm going to get out of the way.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Every now and then, though, you find some drunk who punches the horse.
Yeah, I think we had one at Riverfest this year, actually.
They think they're doing that thing in Blazing Saddles.
Yes.
Where they think like Mongo can knock a horse down or something. So you do have a horse patrol.
Yes.
The people who do that, are they regular officers who just do that? Well, you've got them every weekend, I guess.
We do. They do it part-time. As part of their regular duties. Okay. Would love to have them full-time downtown because, you know, when you talk about perception of safety, the best way, study after study shows, is to have a police presence and a visible presence where people know the police officers. So would love to have that unit full-time downtown and in Old Town.
Let's talk a little bit about drugs. Opioids, for instance, having an impact on the drug activity in Wichita, the opioid epidemic we're hearing about?
Increasingly. We don't have the issues that other parts of the country has, but it is we are seeing an increase in it. And the big worry now is the synthetic opioid is called fentanyl. High potency. A lot of the overdoses are associated with fentanyl, and it is man-made. And people don't realize they'll switch from regular heroin to fentanyl, and that's when they'll overdose because the potency is so great. We're worried about our cops testing it, because even a little bit on your fingertips or a little amount inhaled can be fatal.
That's what I've heard.
Yes.
Wow.
Dangerous stuff.
What kind of steps do you take? How do you know you're dealing with that? I mean, you walk into a situation, you wouldn't even know.
You don't always know. And we have changed some of our protocols for testing, where if it's suspected to be heroin or fentanyl, they're not field testing it anymore because the dangers for our police officers.
So what can you do with it? And there's some sort of way you can package it?
You package it, and then the Forensic Science Center will test it for us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Meth is still a problem, though?
Meth's still number two to marijuana.
When you talk about drugs, and let's talk about drugs, and let's lump in alcohol, too, because you deal with a lot of people who are inebriated. How often the person, just a typical scene you go to, how often is somebody there doing drugs or alcohol, either drunk or drugged?
After 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, either they are drunk or drugged, or the victims of the drunk or drugged. Almost all.
Mm. After 10 o'clock at night.
Almost all. And then during the day, a significant portion.
Wow. Wow. Let's talk a little bit about your efforts to curtail prostitution along South Broadway. I know you've had some, what do you call those, when you're out there?
Stings.
Things.
Stings.
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 Stings. Stings. Yeah, stings. There you go. You've done some of that. Tell me about that. What's going on there?
Well, you know, one of our focuses on reducing disorder in our neighborhoods, there is a nexus between prostitution and that disorder and other crime. And, you know, we've got a lot of people that are trying to do business there, and that disorder interrupts their efforts. So, as well as the human trafficking element associated with prostitution. So we've been focusing on that, focusing on getting victims out of prostitution, addressing the problems in that area. One of our highest car theft area is in that Broadway area, that South Broadway area where these guys are hitting it. And oftentimes all these crimes are intermingled, right? Our criminals are not specialists. They do a little bit of everything. They're opportunists. And that's what we're seeing in that area.
Tell me a little bit about WPD's work in combating cybercrime. Is that something that you deal with?
Oh, yeah. When we talk about the growing expectations of police and the growing need for police, this is a big one that hits us more and more. We see particularly the elderly are targeted on cybercrime, where they're taken advantage of through online threats or phone threats. Accessing people's credit cards, accessing people's bank accounts is becoming a bigger and bigger problem.
So the persons you have in the police department who are working at it, they're pretty specialized people.
It is. It takes.
It's more than, you know, all I know to do is reboot. That's all I know.
So, it is a specialty, and there's a significant amount of training associated with working those crimes.
Talk to me a little bit about that Citizens Review Board that has been formulated.
Yeah.
How's that working out?
So far, so good. It's still early. You know, it's been 6-7 months now. It is a group of citizens that has an interest in the police department and that wants to make us better. And I believe any resident community involvement in the PD makes us better. Having another set of eyes look at why we do things. Also, they get to see how we do things. I'm proud of our internal investigations when we have a complaint against the officer. So they get to see officer issues. They get to talk about them. They look at our policies, provide feedback. We talked about, the drone policy last month and, rolled that out with them to get feedback on their thoughts.
Do we have a drone policy or are we formulating one?
We're formulating one before we operate get one. So
that'd be interesting to hear about that, yeah.
The part of the evolution, you know, we unfortunately, budget cuts killed our air unit. Some time ago, and now these drones are almost, they're not quite there to where the air unit was, but the technology associated with these is...
I was going to say, that could be a pretty good tool.
Yes. Pretty much everybody is around us is using them. You know, the county sheriffs have been using them for Butler and others around us have for lost people, for photographing crash scenes. They're a great tool.
And so the one thing that I noticed, it's kind of calmed down now, but for several weeks after the notorious swatting incident and the gentleman who was killed, for several weeks people were down there, I think maybe the same faces, at city council meetings, venting mostly and about you guys mostly. That just went on and on. That was a tough one, wasn't it?
Oh.
I mean, there
this case is
so much hurt and, you know.
Without a doubt, one of the most difficult cases that I've ever dealt with. And, who would think that something like that could play out to that extent? But when you hear the 911 call and you understand what happened, it's just a tragedy. And I'm very glad that our prosecutors are aggressively going after those individuals that were responsible for this.
Well, and here it brings up another matter, another point, and that is when you're dealing with a crime on the streets, those dispatchers, they have to be giving you some really good information, and there's a burden on those folks, too. They got to be able to figure out that caller, whether this is the real thing or not, huh?
Yeah. This tragedy has taken a toll, obviously, on the family involved, but also our officers, 911 staff, other people that were involved. And, you know, it's hard to wrap your mind around.
The training that you're doing now, I'm sure you're going to tell me it's really good. Do you do anything with the Kansas Law Enforcement Training Center?
We do. Good partners with us.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Professional organization. Yeah, we work very well with
them.
You know,
the one up near Yoder.
Yes.
Ed Pavey is now gone.
Ed Pavey, the legend, who has been so good to me. You know, sad to see him go. He's a great guy.
So you're when you're talking about the training for a police officer, it's how many weeks? Is it more than a week and a half? Because I couldn't last it.
Well, when you get hired on to Wichita PD, just your the formal training at the academy is 24 weeks.
Wow.
And then you have field training, which can be up to another 12, 14 weeks where you're with an officer being trained in. And then that first year, you're on probation, so you're still being graded and judged. And, you know, it's extensive, as it has to be. There's no other job that's like policing where you have that kind of authority, that kind of power, the ability. I mean, it's, you know,
but responsibility too, you know.
That's what I mean,
yeah.
Right? So a tremendous amount of responsibility, and we need to make sure that they are trained to the highest of standards.
Last time I talked to you, you said, well, you were open to any kind of candidate who would come, and I asked you if I could come down and apply. I'm fairly old, but what are your parameters on that? What's your cutoff age on something?
Well, first of all, we really don't have one. I like people with life experience, right? A little humor helps too. So my neighbor's son, 50 years old, he has always wanted to be a police officer. I'm like, he'd be great. You know, police deal with such dynamic, incredible situations that life experience and those that can relate more, those that have had adversity, make better cops. Mm-hmm. My first police job was at 20 years old, and it was too young.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the maturity in hindsight that I look for in today's candidates.
Talk with us a little bit about community relations. You've concentrated on that. They're trying to get out and get your officers to know the people that they're the citizens.
Yeah,
tell me about that.
Well, for instance, it's critical for police for successful policing. It's also critical when people know their police officers, when they know who they are, when they know them on a first name basis, they feel safer, regardless if they're in a neighborhood that's crime ridden or not. So it serves a purpose of making people feel safer, but it also helps us solve crime. You know, our homicide clearance rate is one of the highest in the country, and that's because people trust us and they talk to us. That is critical at getting tips, because very rarely does a police officer stumble across a crime in progress. Usually it's people calling us, reporting us, people that feel comfortable telling us what happened, feeling safe. So, you know, it's key to successful policing.
What's the biggest challenge or challenges that you face in doing that job, being a police chief?
Resources.
Which means?
So it's busy out there. The demands on our cops are incredible. There's times of the day where we are not getting to locations as quickly as we should to help people. There are cases and investigations that we don't get a touch where we could solve them if we had the people. The reality is, though, is that there's only so much money in the pot. And what I think where the city's at right now is trying to balance all the community's desires on public safety and parks and rec
golf
and golf
courses.
Yep. And with the money that's allotted.
Okay. So that's the biggest challenge, then?
Without a doubt, right?
All right. So now, what makes you get up and go to work every day, then? I mean, it sounds to me like it's a heavy burden.
Well,
Where's the fun in it?
The impact that we can have in a community, right? And that we are critical for any community. And the good that cops do. And this is what you don't see in the news that is so hard for cops, is that every minute of every day our cops are out there doing good things, helping people, taking dangerous people off the streets, doing little things to help people's daily lives. And
unfortunately, the problem with news is I've done it for almost 50 years. Is we only react when something bad happens.
Right. Unfortunately,
we're trying to do those good stories now, and then we try, and we appreciate your work and the police department's work. And thanks for spending some time with us again. Always appreciate it, and we learn something every time you come on. And thanks for being with us this morning.
Great being here, Steve.
Our guest, Wichita Police Chief Gordon Ramsey. That's all for this edition of Issues 2018. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.